ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Sri Radhashtami, the appearance in this world of Srimati Radharani, the most confidential of all the festivals that we celebrate. Many of the festivals are difficult to understand or would seem inconceivable or maybe even absurd to people without knowledge of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, the science of Krishna consciousness. The appearance of the Lord as a giant pig, the appearance of the Lord as a form, the top part of which is that of a lion and the lower part of that which is a man. This is inconceivable. The appearance of Srimati Radharani may seem, well, that's not so difficult to understand, as the Lord as a pig or a fish. But it is the most esoteric because, well, why? Because that we have to find out from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described why Krishna, who is Atma Rama Apta Kama, who is completely satisfied in himself and whose desires are all fulfilled, he nevertheless feels himself incomplete, wanting something which he can't get as Krishna. That is the Radha Bhava, the feelings of Srimati Radharani. He wants to know what it's like to be her, so that he can relish her ecstasy in understanding him. He describes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna bicha ek achaye antare purnananda purna rasa rupa kahimore. Once Lord Krishna considered within his heart, everyone says that I am complete bliss, full of all rasas. Purnananda, purna rasa rupa, the name for Krishna. Sounds nicer in Bengali, doesn't it? What do you think? That's true. But of course, that is the proper description of Krishna. But Krishna, he disagrees, as we will find out. Ama hoite anandito hoi tribhuvan, ama ke ananda debe oiche konjan. All the world derives pleasure from me. Is there anyone who can give me pleasure? Ama hoite jar hoi shoto shoto gun, shejan ahladite pare moramon. One who has 100 times more qualities than me could give pleasure to my mind. Shota, shota. Actually, the original says hundreds and hundreds. Ama huite guni boro jagate asambhav. Ekali radha te taha kari anubhav. One more qualified than me is impossible to find in the world, but in Radha alone I feel the presence of one who can give me pleasure. Koti kama jini rupa jadapi ama ashamurda madhurja shame nahija mora rupe apayita hoi tribhuban radha darshane mora jurai nayan. Yeah, we don't need a musical background to this. Although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids, Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. Although it is unequaled and unsurpassed, and although it gives pleasure to the three worlds, seeing Radharani gives pleasure to my eyes. Morabongshi gite akarshaye tribhuvan radha bachane hare amashravan. The vibration of my transcendental flute attracts the three worlds, but my ears are enchanted by the sweet words of Srimati Radharani. Bear in mind that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to read first Bhagavad Gita, then Srimad Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita. So who are we talking about here? We're talking about Krishna, who Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavang Mang Prapadyate, someone who, after seeking with knowledge after many, many births, may surrender unto him, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, understanding that he is all in all, Samahatma Sudurlabha, such a person is very, very rare. How great is Krishna? And then Krishna is attracted by Radha, so this should be borne in mind. Jajapi amar gandhe jagat sugandha mora chitta prana hare radha anga gandha. Although my body lends fragrance to the entire creation, the scent of Radharani's limbs captivates my mind and heart. Jajapi amar roshe jagat sharosh radha adha roshe ama kare bosh. Although the entire creation is full of different tastes, because of me, I am charmed by the nectarian taste of the lips of Srimati Radharani. Yes. If we, in the Bengali, the word is rasa, so it has double meaning. Taste, and also the all kinds of delightful experiences. Jajapi amar sparsha kotindu shital radhikar sparsha yama koreshu shital. And although my touch is cooler than 10 million moons, I am refreshed by the touch of Srimati Radhika. Emato jagate shuke ama hetu ami hetu radhikara rupa guna amar jibatu. Although I am the source of happiness for the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. Emato anubhav ama pratit bichariya dekhiye jadi shaba biparit. In this way, my affectionate feelings for Srimati Radharani may be understood, but on analysis, I find them contradictory. Radhar darshane mo jurai nayan amar darshane radha shuke agayan. My eyes are fully satisfied when I look upon Srimati Radharani, but by looking upon me, she becomes even more advanced in satisfaction. So Krishna is saying, it's not fair. I'm supposed to be the supreme enjoyer, but she's enjoying more than me. Because Krishna is all bliss, and she is most adept in experiencing that bliss. So Krishna, he can't directly experience the bliss of himself because he is himself. This is the ultimate limit of personalism. In Madhvacharya and his Sampradaya, they establish very strongly personalism. But they can't and they won't enter into this. It's theoretically they accept. Theoretically and practically, but the ultimate limit of personalism is this. Paraspara Benu Gite Haraye Chaitan Mara Brahme Tamale Korealingan. The flute-like murmur of the bamboos rubbing against one another steals Radharani's consciousness, for she thinks it to be the sound of my flute, and she embraces a tamal tree, mistaking it for me. Krishna alingan apainu janama shafale Krishna shuke magna rohe brikha karikole. I have got the embrace of Sri Krishna, she thinks, so now my life is fulfilled. Thus she remains immersed in pleasing Krishna, taking the tree in her arms. Anukula bate jadi priya moragandha uriya parite chahe preme hoy andha. When a favorable breeze carries to her the fragrance of my body, she is blinded by love and tries to fly into that breeze. Tambul charbita jabe koreya shadane ananda samudra dube kichuina jane. When she tastes the beetle chewed by me, she merges into an ocean of joy and forgets everything else. Amar Shangame Radha Paije Ananda Shotamukhe Boli Tobu Na Pai Tar Anta. Even with hundreds of mouths, I could not express the transcendental pleasure she derives from my association. Lila Ante Shuke Iha Onge Madhuri Tahadeki Shuke Ami Apana Pashari. Seeing the luster of her complexion after our pastimes together, I forget my own identity in happiness. Doha je shamarash bharat muni mane ama braje rasha deho nahi jane. The sage Bharat has said that the mellows of love, of lover and beloved, are equal, but he does not know the mellows of my Vrindavan. Onne shangame ami joto shukopai taha hoite radha shuka shota adhikai. The happiness I feel when meeting Radharani is 100 times greater than the happiness I get from meeting others. In Sanskrit and in Bengali, Bengali poetical language like this, the word shata meaning 100, it's often given just to mean, it's just metaphorical, that it's unlimited, it's more than we can imagine. Then a quote from this verse and the next verse is from Lalita Madhava. Nirtu tamrita madhari parimala kalyani bimbadharo vaktrang pankaja saurabham kuharita shvaghabhidaste giraha angang chandana shi Angam chandana shitalam tanuri eam saundaurya sarvasva bhak tvam asadya mamedam indriya kulam radhe mohur modate. My dear auspicious Radharani, your body is the source of all beauty. Your red lips are softer than the scents of immortal sweetness. Your face bears the aroma of a lotus flower. Your sweet words defeat the vibrations of the cuckoo, and your limbs are cooler than the pulp of sandalwood. All my transcendental senses are overwhelmed in ecstatic pleasure by tasting you, who are completely decorated by beautiful qualities. The next verse. Rupe kangsaharasya lubdhanayanam sparsheti hrishyat tvacham vanyam utkalita shrutim parimale sanghrishta nasa putam arajadrasanam kiladhara pute nyanchan mukam bhoruham dambhodgirna mahadhriting bahirapi prodyad vikarakulam. Her eyes are enchanted by the beauty of Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa. Her body thrills in pleasure at his touch. Her ears are always attracted to his sweet voice. Her nostrils are enchanted by his fragrance. And her tongue hankers for the nectar of his soft lips. She hangs down her lotus-like face, exercising self-control only by pretense, but she cannot help showing the external signs of her spontaneous love for Lord Krishna. Tate jane mote ache kono ekarosh ama mohini radha tare kore bosh. Considering this, I can understand that some unknown mellow in me controls the entire existence of my captivator, Srimati Radharani. Ama hoite radha pai jai jati oshuk taha ashadite ami shadai unmuk. I am always eager to taste the joy that Radharani derives from me. And then Krishna goes on to explain that, how he takes the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to relish the bliss that Radha relishes in serving Krishna. So yes, this is an extremely esoteric subject, but it is this subject, yeah, please take this, that distinguishes us as Gauriya Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained the meaning of the word Gauriya. Generally, it's understood to mean that the obvious etymological meaning is it means Bengali Vaishnavas. That's all. It's just some geographical classification to distinguish from Utkal Vaishnavas or Trihut Vaishnavas or whatever, other places. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that the esoteric meaning is Vaishnava is a general term which means devotee of Vishnu. And there's another term, Karshna, which is used in Srimad Bhagavatam to mean the descendants or the family members of Krishna. But in general it means, just like Vaishnava means of Vishnu, those who are connected to Vishnu. So Karshna means those who are connected to Krishna, means devotee of Krishna. And Gauriya, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, means devotee of Radharani. So this topic is our topic. We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is also distinguishes Gauriyas. There's so much emphasis on chanting. Actually, in India, when we meet, probably now in America also, because most of India is in America, it seems. Especially the more cultured people are coming over and losing their culture. But if we meet from other Vaishnav Sampradayas, or even non-Vaishnav Sampradayas, those who are Mayavadis who actually study Shastra, they all agree, they'll all accept. In Kali Yuga, Harinam has to be Harinam. Everyone will accept. So They admit, yeah, we're the ones who are doing it. We're the ones who have the emphasis on that. So particularly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. This is a prayer to Krishna, Radha Krishna. First Radha, Radha Krishna, please engage me in your service. Which this is completely suitable for the very beginning neophyte, or even one who's just not even quite at the stage of being a neophyte. Of course, as soon as one chants Hare Krishna, then he becomes a Vaishnava. So from the very beginning up to the very highest stages, what's the highest? The highest literature that we have in the whole world, practically it's beyond the world. Well, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the highest, but then even if we go up to the Raghunath Das Goswami expresses more focused what is introduced in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, expresses his longings for serving Radharani. But serving Radharani means cannot be disconnected from Krishna. So serving Krishna is best by serving Radharani, as Srila Prabhupada stated in one lecture on Sri Radhashtami, that if we want to please Krishna, we should try to please Radha. So this is a prayer to Radha and Krishna together, the Hare Krishna mantra. Gauriya, of course, means follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about whom Vasudev Ghosh has sung, Jadi Gorna Hoito Tobeki Hoito Kemane Dharitam De Radhar Mahima Prema Rasha Shima Jagate Jana Toke Madhura Brinda Vipina Madhuri Prabesha Chaturi Sha Baraja Jubate Bhavera Bhakati Shakati Hoito Ka. He says that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, how could we live? Most people think, well, what's the problem? Most people never heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they're living. But for one who has got real life, for one who's not simply a walking corpse, which means almost everyone in this world, then they've got the life of Krishna Bhakti. Then for them, they consider that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, how could we live? Because he gave us life. He is Chaitanya. Chaitanya means consciousness. Achaitanya medang vishvam. This whole world is without Chaitanya, without consciousness. So he says, how could we live? Why is that? What is it about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he has such a statement to make? Because the glories of Srimati Radharani, which is the ultimate limit of pure love of God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given that. No one else has the ability to give that. The sweet pastimes of the gopis in the sweet groves of Vrindavan, to enter into that is the essence of all, when you get up through all intelligence and endeavors, and the ultimate is to enter there. The loving feelings of the young girls of Vrindavan and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can give this. No one else can give this. So this is our topic actually. We don't discuss it so much. I'll talk about that a little later. First, I want to recite a verse from Gita Govinda. I want to discuss about Gita Govinda because in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the topmost Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Puranam Amalam, it's the topmost Vedic evidence, it's the topmost Vedic literature, it is the commentary, the Vedanta means the end, the ultimate knowledge in the Vedas that is described in the Vedanta Sutras, and the commentary on that, or the exposition on that, is Srimad Bhagavatam, and Radha is not directly mentioned there. Her name is not clearly there. Anaya Radhito Nunam Ishwaro Bhagavan Harihi. Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari. This, indirectly, she is mentioned, only indirectly. And practically, the first major exposition of the glories of Radharani is by Jayadeva Goswami in his Gita Govinda. And there were other poets also prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have the Krishna Kanamrita, Bilva Mangal, and the Chandidas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would relish the poems of these devotees who explain the glories of Krishna's conjugal love in Vrindavan. But especially the Gita Govinda gives the whole plot of the Rasa Lila, which is described. Clearly Radha is there, but her name is not given in Srimad Bhagavatam. But it describes in Srimad Bhagavatam, after giving all the explanation of how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in great detail, Srimad Bhagavatam is a book of tattva, Bhagavat tattva vijnanam, of spiritual knowledge and understanding. That's very clear from the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the very first verse, Janmadhyasya Yataha, it describes the topics of Vedanta, the philosophical topics, but then also Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam, this is the Nigamakalpataro Galitam Phalam, this is the Rasa Shastra, the topic which describes the treatise, which gives the rasa, the sweet juice of Bhagavan, which is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. So Bhagavatam describes Rasalila, the topmost pastimes, the most glorified pastimes, in which the hero is Krishna, is Nayak, and there's no hero without a heroine, as every follower of Bollywood knows. Nayaka Nayika. That's the perverse reflection. People take so much pleasure in the perverse reflection. They're missing the real thing. So Krishna is the hero. He's Rasa Vilasi, the enjoyer of the Rasa dance. And Radharani is the Rasa Vilasini. She's also required to be there. That she is required to be there is made clear in Jayadev's Gita Govinda. It's the whole story of how she leaves the Rasa dance, and Krishna finds that it's completely useless without her, even with shata gopi, with thousands, millions of gopis. Krishna finds without Radha, it's all useless. So this is the subject matter of Gita Govinda. Gita Govinda, there's no philosophy. It might seem to be like a love story. Actually, he opens the Gita Govinda with two songs. One is the Pralayapayo Dijale, Dashavatar Stotra, describing that this Keshava, who is captured by Radha, captured by her love, who becomes subordinate to her love, he is the great Lord, who is Jagadish, the Lord of the universe. So these invocatory songs, he established it. This is Krishna. And this Krishna is the one who engages in love pastimes with Radharani. So, there is one verse just at the beginning of this Gita Govinda. I'm discussing this because the Gita Govinda, as although it's not philosophical per se, the story, it doesn't discuss the philosophy as Bhagavatam does. It's a much shorter work, and it's only meant for relishing or describing the relish of Radha and Krishna together, how they love each other. The invocatory verse, Yadi Hari Smarane Sarasang Mano Yadi Vilasa Kalasa Kutu Halam Madhura Komala Kanta Padavaling Shrinu Tada Jayadeva Sarasvatim. The translation. If you at all wish to fill your consciousness with the remembrance of Sri Radha and Krishna and enter into a serving position within their sublime pleasure pastimes on the bank of Radha Kunda, then listen carefully to this sweet and poignant song of Jayadev, filled with the narration of their divine love. Gita Govinda is relished not only because of the content, but also because of its exquisite poetical beauty, which even if we don't know Sanskrit, we can just hear. It sounds so sweet. Yadi Hari Smarane Sarasang Mano Yadi Vilasa Kalasa Kutu Halam Madhura Kumala Kanta Padavaling Shrinu Tada Jayadeva Sarasvatim. So every verse is exquisitely beautiful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, commenting on this, states, within this verse there is sambandha, relationship, the means of attaining perfection, abhideya, the qualification, the adhikar, for entering one's constitutional position in the confidential pastimes of Radha Madhava, rendering them service, and realizing the highest ecstasy in that position is attainable by those rasic devotees who are free from all anarthas. They are qualified to read this book and thus reach the highest goal, prayojana. So on hearing this, we can be hopeful, even though we are anadi karma phale pari bhavarna vajale deki. What is it? Pari bhavarna vajale tori bari na deki upai. Even though we've fallen in this material ocean since time immemorial, due to our results of our karmic action, our activities, we can't find any way out. But still, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha Krishna, as received through the Gauriya Acharyas, received through Srila Prabhupada, there's a hope. This is what they have come to give. There is the hope, there is the chance that Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to share that bliss with us. He's so full of himself. He doesn't want to lock it up and keep it with himself. Let me enjoy and let no one else enjoy. But he wants to share it with all of us. The service, the happiness of serving him. So there is the chance, there is the opportunity. We are all meant for serving Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. There is great hope there. I'll read a section from Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava. For several days in February 1936, at the Jog Peet, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's morning lectures were on a prefatory verse from Gita Govinda. Yadi hari smarane sarasang mana, yadi vilasa kalasu kutu halam, madhura komala kanta padavalim, shunu tada jayadeva sarasvatim. This verse. He commented that this verse presents the highest subject of Veda and Vedanta, and that if one desires from liberation from material existence, if one desires to be attracted by Bhagavan's transcendental pastimes, if by Hari Smaran one's mind is enriched with rasa, then in the manner undertaken by Guru and Vaishnavas, the sweet and charming verses of Sri Jayadev's Gita Govinda are suitable for discussion. He explained that actual eagerness for realizing Krishna's pastimes is characterized by total absence of penchant towards mundane thoughts, for the two cannot coexist. Discussion of Gita Govinda should take place when one is finished with useless talks of family affairs and so on. Srila Saraswati Thakur warned that persons desiring to enjoy rather than serve Krishna are never permitted into the arena of his enjoyment. They are offenders to Srimati Radhika, the custodian of Krishna's pleasure. So this essential point, which is the crux of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teachings, we are meant to serve, not to enjoy. We shall enjoy by serving, but our aim is not enjoyment. But if we come with the idea of enjoying, then we become offenders to Radharani, because she is the one who is arranging that everything is for his enjoyment. And we want to take it away, we want to steal that from Krishna. Quoting more from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this regard. When you are sincerely eager to serve Krishna, your eternal connection to him in one of the five rasas will be open to you. Without being liberated, no one is eligible to serve Krishna. Krishna is solely Radharani's object. We say Radha Krishna, we generally think that means Radha and Krishna. But another understanding means Radha's Krishna. He belongs to her, not that she belongs to him. Without serving Radha, no one can ever be eligible to serve Krishna. May you be overwhelmed with desire to be situated in your eternal individual serving position in Madhura Ras as an eternal maidservant of Radha's Palyadasis, that is his benediction to his followers, which he gave. So generally, we approach, we don't study Gita Govinda per se, we study through Bhagavatam, in which there's the description of the Leela, but also there's the philosophical understanding, just like Parikshit Maharaj, we find in Bhagavatam that when Shukdev begins a description of Rasa Leela, then Parikshit asks, what's going on? Krishna comes to establish dharma, But to associate with others' wives is adharma. So what's to be understood here? Actually, as Shukadev says, I already understood all this. I already explained all this. But anyway, he explains it again, just to make the matter clear. Krishna is not an ordinary person. He is the supreme enjoyer. Everything is meant for everything and everyone is meant for his enjoyment. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also explained that any man who thinks that this wife is mine for my enjoyment, he is immoral. Not that Krishna is immoral. Because everyone is meant for Krishna's pleasure. But if we think that any Krishna can take unlimited gopis for his pleasure, that is completely moral. But if we take one woman for our enjoyment, that is immoral. This is the transcendental perspective on morality. So what is in the Bhagavatam with all explanations, philosophical explanations, Jayadev, he just gives that without so many theological explanations, but elaborates on the rasa, or the storyline. When we say story, it's not just something which someone made up, but it's the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Both have been tremendously influential, Srimad Bhagavatam and Gita Govinda in Indian culture, Indian Vaishnav culture. Bhagavatam more so, but Gita Govinda also tremendously influential, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially with his coming, he amplified the topics of Radha and Krishna. If Jayadev had not given this, then the whole focus of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his feelings in separation from Krishna, they are exactly like those, this is described several times, I think three times in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in deep feelings of separation from Krishna, that was especially the feelings that Radharani experienced when Uddhava came to Vrindavan. So she's remembering all the pastimes. In Gita Govinda, in one place, apart from the whole description, which has given... Yeah, let me say this as well. This whole description of the pastimes of the Rasalila, Radharani going away, Krishna looking for her, finding her, then this has become the subject of literally thousands of poems which are sung, so kirtans, in Bengali, in Brij Bhasha, Brij Boli, especially in Bengali, in Sanskrit, in Maithili, in these languages, literally thousands. I have a book, not here, big book with a selection of traditional Bengali songs, big thick book. And they're mostly all on this subject. In various ways, in different poets, being inspired by the story given by Jayadev Goswami in Gita Govinda, they describe the same thing, just little different perspective, different words. It was the subject of Gauriya Vaishnavas, very much. But eventually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, they saw that the persons who were discussing this, singing these songs, making these dramas, they don't have the adhika, they don't have the eligibility, and they've taken it as they've perversely taken it as an excuse to indulge in their own sense gratification. So sometimes people who call themselves traditional Gauriyas, they say, well, this what line is coming from Bhaktivinod and especially from Bhaktisthanda is a deviation from the traditional line. Well, there is a difference, no doubt, in emphasis, but that is required. Not that we have rejected all these topics, but just to prepare us to properly approach these topics and not to misrepresent them. So although Gita Govinda is not per se a theological work, but therein is established the highest theological principle of how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, voluntarily becomes subordinate to Radha. So, Bhagavatam gives Rasalila, but with checks and balances. First, describing the whole topic of Bhagavatam. What is the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the Jiva? Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. In Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says, all the Jivas are my parts and parcels. And that is explained and demonstrated in depth in Bhagavatam. So with this consciousness, one should enter into hearing the 10th canto. But Gita Govinda is concerned more with Bhagavan, who is the source of everything, and his internal pleasure potency, who is Radharani, his Haladini Shakti. His enjoyment. The Bhagavatam is largely from our perspective, how we are to see Bhagavan, how we are to act in relationship with him. But Gita Govinda is from the internal, what he's doing. There's no maintenance of the universe here. There's no preaching to bring people to Krishna consciousness. There's no differentiation between what is real and what is unreal, what is illusion and what is fact. There's no description of Maya, which is why one requires great eligibility to enter into that, because if someone's in Maya and they hear it, then they may be attracted to think that, well, I should also enjoy like Krishna. So one has to enter cautiously. Gita Govinda takes us right into the heart of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna, the whole topic is Krishna from beginning to end. That's why Vyasadeva compiled the Bhagavatam, because Narad told him, you did everything, compile all the Vedas, you just missed one point, which is the whole point of everything, which is Krishna. You didn't clearly delineate Krishna. So Bhagavatam puts Krishna in the center. Krishna is in the center. If we don't put Krishna in the center of our lives, then our life is off balance. So Krishna is the center of everything. But the center of Krishna, which keeps Krishna on balance and also off balance, is Radharani. So, this is the story of Gita Govinda, how the Supreme Lord keeps everything in balance, but he becomes imbalanced by not having Radharani. And when he's with her, he's also imbalanced. So it'll be too confusing for people who can only consider the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Lord. This is the, if you're going to take it logically, the logical understanding of personalism is that we see in this world there is love between, well, there are different races. There's love between male and female, between parents and children, between friends. That's also in Bhagavan. Raso Vai Saha. He is rasa. But even the most philosophical persons, practically we can say the most philosophical sampradaya is the Madhva sampradaya, but they can't enter here. It requires the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, what is this Rasa Leela? What is the theological purpose? Why does Krishna do that? How he comes to Dharma Samsthapanartha. He comes to, for the purpose of establishing Dharma. Well, this is the highest Dharma. In terms of ordinary worldly Dharma, there is no meaning. It's not killing the demons or protecting the devotees. It's just for pleasure, that's all. Why do it? It's just for pleasure. It's not for ecological purposes or economic purposes or philosophical purposes. Just Krishna enjoying himself, that's all. But he can't be happy without Radha. So I'll read something from Teachings of Lord Chaitanya by Srila Prabhupada. The chapter 30, the title of the chapter is The Transcendental Pastimes of Radha and Krishna. When Radharani left the arena of the Rasa dance out of anger at not receiving special treatment, because Krishna was dancing with all the gopis. So Radha thought, hey, what's... She left. You keep all your gopis. She left. Krishna became very sorrowful to see her absent. The perfection of the Rasa dance was considered to be complete due to Radharani's presence. And in her absence, Krishna considered the dance to be disrupted. I should have got that previously. Maybe I'll see. Therefore, he left the arena to search her out. When he could not find Radharani after wandering in several places, he became very distressed. Thus it is understood that Krishna could not enjoy his pleasure potency even in the midst of all the gopis, but in the presence of Radharani, he was satisfied. So that's the end of the quote, but the point to be understood from this is that it's not the Rasa Leela per se that makes Krishna happy, but it's Radha's presence there, because he can go on dancing. There are plenty of other gopis to dance with, plenty, unlimited. But Krishna can't find any pleasure there without Radha. Now I'm just going to see if I can find... Oh, that's funny how this book is... Oh, I see. Okay. I'm going to try and... Let me see if I can... I should have got that previously. There's one song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this regard. Ah, here it is. What's that? 189... Yeah, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bengali rendition of a verse from the Radhikashtakam of Rupa Goswami. So, Shatakoti Gopi Madhavaman Rakite narilo kori jaton. The shatakoti means 1,000,000,000, a billion gopis could not keep Madhav's mind. They couldn't hold his attention, even though he tried. Benu gite dake radhika nam esho esho radhe take esh dake esham. So anyway, that's the point, that's the main point, that billions of gopis couldn't satisfy Krishna, only Radha. Without her, he finds it empty. So, I'll read now from Gita Govinda, a verse that is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's several verses of Gita Govinda. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasies, which are described in there, they're all, this is the point, it's all derived from his meditation upon the subject of Gita Govinda. So, this verse, Kangsari Rapi Sangsara Vasana Abhadha Shrinkalam Radham Adhaya Hridaye Tatyaja Vraja Sundari. So, Krishna, this is Bhaktisthan Saraswati explains it like this. Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, took Radha, the chain that tied him to his supreme and essential desire to enjoy the Rasa Leela. That's a very poetic way of saying Radha. She is the chain who ties him to his supreme and essential desire to enjoy the Rasa Leela. Bhaktisthan Saraswati 6. Expanding. The word is actually Sangsara Vasana Shrinkala. That means Radha, the supreme refuge of the Rasa Leela. He brings her into his heart and abandons the other beautiful girls of Vraja. Now the word here is Sangsara Vasana. Krishna's in desire to enjoy Sangsara. The Sangsara in Hindi and Bengali, it doesn't just mean, it's known in the Western world among Buddhists and as repeated birth and death. That's one of the words which they know. But in Bengali especially, and also in Hindi, it also means family life. This is my sangsar. You can say, go bring someone to you. Oh, it's referred to like that. Your family life. It's interesting. And the two things have the same meaning. So, Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur describes Sangsara Vasana, the desire. Vasana means it's not desire in the sense of you see an ice cream and you want to eat it, but it's the desire in the sense of a long standing part of your whole existence, something that you desire in the core of your heart, deeply rooted desire. So, Sangsara Vasana, Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur says, is Samyaka Sara Vasana. Samyak means complete, Sara means the essence, and Vasana means desire. So, the essence of all perfect desire that... So what does that mean? Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur describes that Radha's role in Krishna's existence is what? She is his existence. That's the meaning of Swarup Shakti. She is his Swarup Shakti, that which makes him who he is. That is Radha. So this is derived from this verse. From, you see how the acharyas, they unfold. And why the Sanskrit is very important actually. They unpack it. The word Sangsara Vasana. Sangsara Vasana Baddha Shrinkala. She who ties him with desire for home life. Just like in this world, a man is tied to his home life by the wife. So Radha does that with Krishna. Otherwise, if there's no Radha, then you can be an impersonalist. Personalism means there's something. A person means he's got so much desire to live and perform activities. Why? Why is there anything? Then just all impersonal. Why is there anything? Because Radha gives pleasure to Krishna. And Krishna himself feels everything is useless without her. So, this Gita Govinda, written in the 12th century, that would be about maybe 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then it gave rise to a whole explosion of art and literature and sculpture and so many things. But especially that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired that by his preaching of this in a guarded way also. It was revolutionary in as much as the idea of the all-powerful God became changed to that of an all-loving God, or modified to that of an all-loving God, and the in Vedic culture there is the Vaishnavas and the Shaivas who worship the Supreme as the Supreme Male. There are the Shaktas who worship the Supreme as the Supreme Female. They think that the female is supreme, but Vaishnavas, they worship the Supreme Male, but ultimately they're the Supreme Shaktas. They worship the Shakti. So this concept of God as the all-loving, the supreme lover, became very much established by Gita Govinda, and it's still revolutionary. It's very difficult to explain to people who have the idea of God being the supreme power, very aloof. In the Jewish religion, you're not even supposed to say the name of God. It's supposed to be too high, too pure. No one's supposed to say it. Actually, it's given there as Yahweh, but in the Bible it's written in a way that you can't pronounce it. There are no vowels given. So from that, and the idea in Islam of the God who's so remote, you can't imagine any personality, then, and Shankara also, no personality, and Buddha, no person. No personality, no person, no thing. And then Ramanuja, Madhva, they get, yes, he's a person. And who is this person? He's a person. He also becomes bewildered. And that is just really anathema to persons who can only see God as all-powerful. They can't, seeing him like that, they can only relate to him, his love, they can only relate to his love as being that love. He's powerful, so he can give something to us and help us. And then we come to the idea of that we are just living to enjoy what God gives to us. But when we understand Krishna as the supreme lover, then also there comes the concept of serving him, what we can do for him. How can we, at the high level, how can we help him when he's suffering? God's suffering, he's suffering because he can't find Radha. And Radha, how can she be served? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, then we go off into, there's so many tangents. Then, one of my favorite passages in this Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, because we are persons, we all have our favorites, our likes and dislikes, is a narration by Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, that once Bhakti Siddhanta Sartaka was lecturing, and he said that Vrindavan, that's not so important. That's only for people who don't have very high understanding. And he said, actually the real place, the highest place is Kurukshetra. And Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj said, when I heard this, I felt like I fell out of a tree. Because generally we think Kurukshetra is the place of Bhagavad Gita, which is all the basic philosophy. Vrindavan is the place of all the leelas. So, but he said that I knew that I was always a very acute listener, he said. So I knew he's going to explain it now. So he listened. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Kurukshetra is the place where... Earlier this year, I think, was it? Yeah, I went to Kurukshetra. Yeah, it was just this year. And the first time I'd been there for many years. I arrived at the train station, and there are all pictures in the train station, in the waiting room, from Bhagavad Gita, all scenes, paintings. Very beautiful paintings. And there's also a painting of Krishna meeting the gopis from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna meeting the gopis, not just the gopis, but Krishna coming there, just toward, almost at the end of the 10th.
The eclipse.
Yeah, the eclipse, yeah. Almost at the end of the 10th canto. It's like a footnote. It doesn't come in chronological order. So that's there. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that Radha, who is Yugayatam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayatam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename, who is suffering every moment, like 12 years or more, in separation from Krishna, and she goes to Kurukshetra to meet Krishna. And she meets Krishna. When she's going there, she's in great expectation. The path, she wants to get there. And she sees Krishna, but she can't quite get him. Because it's not the Krishna she knows. It's the Krishna with soldiers and shoes on. She never saw Krishna with shoes on. All dressed opulently with elephants and horses. And she can't approach him. He's already surrounded by so many people. And she almost got him, but not quite. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained that at this moment, when the need for service is the highest, that is the greatest opportunity for service. And therefore, Kurukshetra is the highest. Vrindavan is only for low-class people. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he can say. I didn't say that. So, the Gita Govinda, what is it? It's a love story. If you take it at face value, it's a love story. There's Krishna's loving Radha, professing his love for his infidelity, Radha's jealousy, and then reconciliation. From the story point of view, there probably, you can go to any, or just look on the internet, and there are probably many more interesting and complex love stories. There's so many love stories been written. So from the plot point of view, it's not very complex. But the I'll just read out this summary of the Gita Govinda, which it shows how Radha, by her love, what's the world's most misused word? Is it God or love? These are all very much misused and misunderstood words. By her Radharani, by her love, by her beauty, by her qualities, she conquers Krishna, the supreme power. So this is proof. Love is the highest, but it's not the imagined love. The people of this world, they use this world. This is love. If you want to know what love is, we have to come to this. So, Bhagavatam describes Rasa Leela. Krishna is surrounded by hundreds, thousands, millions of gopis enjoying the Rasa Leela. Everyone very happy, dancing, singing. We can't imagine what is that dancing and singing. What is the music? What are the dancing moves? It's beyond our imagination. All bliss. Krishna is sakshat manmata manmata. Described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's directly the Cupid of Cupid, who's Cupid, the god of love. Krishna is the god of love for the god of love. He's intoxicated. Well, there's the spring Rasa Leela, there's the Vasanta Ras. So this one is glorified, and then there's the glorified in Gita Govinda. So, and every form of, there are millions of forms of Krishna, expands himself into millions of forms and millions of gopis, and seeing this amidst all this bliss, Radha becomes jealous and angry, and thinks, well, he got all these gopis, doesn't need me. She's out of there. She's all of a sudden, Krishna's dancing with Radha. She's not there anymore. What happened? She didn't like that he's treating me just like anyone else. So immediately we're lost. Unless we just accept that, if we try to philosophize about all this, we're going to get lost. Or if we think that Krishna is just some ordinary person, we're going to be lost. So that's why we don't normally discuss all these things, because it's very intimate. So Krishna suddenly realizes, oh, Radharani, she's not here. And then his being the supreme enjoyer, with all the, every gopi is more, millions of times more beautiful than any female form even imaginable in this material world, and Krishna is the enjoyer of them all, would put any male, what do they call them, sex symbols to shame. Some big, what is that, some film actor, they become, the girls put their picture on the wall and all this, but they're all, as Rukmini said, that anyone who wants to have any husband apart from Krishna, they're just foolish, because it's just, what is this husband? It's just some bag with all foul substances and bones and some hair sticking out of it. So Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, showing himself to be the supreme enjoyer. This is the apex of philosophical, theological understanding. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and he demonstrates it in his Rasa Leela. He's not, well, he comes to this, the Rasa Leela is only for his enjoyment, and Krishna comes to this world to have that Rasa Leela, to show everyone, you can come and join in my enjoyment. So Krishna's there, the supreme enjoyer, enjoying himself at the highest level of enjoyment, and all of a sudden Radha is there, and all of a sudden he's not enjoying anymore. His enjoyment is completely cut in the absence of Radha. He's completely lost and bewildered, seemingly like an ordinary person. So He says in Bhagavad Gita, Madhaparataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya, mai sarvamidang protam sutre manigana eva. That I am supreme, no one is superior to me, everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. All of a sudden, it becomes clear that there is someone who is superior to him. She is the thread which holds him together. He is the thread which holds everything else together. She is the thread which holds him together. And so immediately all the gopis of Vrindavan all ready to, and not only ready but actually there to give themselves fully to him. He just forgets all of them. You can be happy, I can be happy, this gopi, that gopi, leaves them all. Without Radha, everything is completely useless. Just like Radha prays, Jagat Shunyam Govinda Virahinabe, the whole world is empty without Govinda, but Krishna himself feels the same way about Radha. So he goes and looks for her, but he can't find her. He can't find, she's gone away. And she's gone away in such a way that Krishna can't find her. She doesn't want to be found. She's finished. Never again. Enough. Of course, this happens again and again, but each time it seems like it's new. She's decided, never again. That's it. It's all over. And Krishna can't find her. Okay, she's embarrassing him again because he says he's superior to everyone. She's superior to him. He says, I know everything. Vedaham, Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani, I know everything. And she can't find her. She doesn't know where she is. And then he who appears as Nara Narayana, and Indra comes, so Indra sends the Kamadev, Cupid, with the beautiful women to disturb the mind of Narayan, and they say, you like beautiful women? Here, take some more, we'll give you some more. He shows all the beautiful women from the heavenly planets, the most beautiful, come to disturb the mind of Narayan, and he produces more beautiful women from his own potency and shows, hey, you think these are beautiful? I'll produce more beautiful women. You can take any one you like. So he who is the source of all beautiful women, who cannot be disturbed by Cupid, this Krishna, not finding Radha, he calls out to Cupid and says, don't do this to me. Why are you attacking me like this with your arrows of love? Don't be merciful. Don't think I'm Lord Shiva and I'm going to burn you to pieces. He's calling out to Cupid. He himself is known as the Aprakrita Madan, the transcendental Cupid, but he himself is vanquished. He feels himself vanquished by not having Radha. His love puts him, in not getting her, puts him in a state of despair. One of Radha's girlfriends approaches him at this time and says that, well, Radha's also feeling pain without you. She's rejected you, but she also can't live without you. So she's regretting that she's become so angry. So, and she says that, I've got this sandalwood pulp on my body and the moon is shining so bright, the cooling moon, but still all these cooling things, I'm still burning. My body is burning. The evening breeze, because the Krishna would have the Rasalila in the evening, when it's very cool, and daytime is very hot, but nighttime is very suitable for Rasalila, and the moon is giving the cool rays. But she feels that the gentle breezes, they're like snakes biting me with their poison in the absence of Krishna. So Krishna says, she calls and says, Krishna, you please come to Radha, cure her from her love sickness. She said that she wanted, she was upset with you, but now in your absence, the messenger of Radha says, I'm afraid she won't be able to, if you don't come, she won't be able to live anymore. You better come quickly and save her. So, knowing that this messenger, Duti, she had come, not on Radha's request, Krishna asked her to go back and inform Radha that I'm also feeling so much separation from you, but I'm fully devoted to you. Now, if I go back, will you accept me? Will you forgive me? Tell her, Krishna tells the girl messenger, whose name is not given, that I left everything. I left my home and to roam in the wild forest. My comfortable bed, I find it uncomfortable. I need to be with you. So, I'm just gone mad. I'm sprawling on the ground, calling out her name. I can't sleep. I'm chanting mantras in the hope of getting her back. Just as I can again be with her and touch her and feel her. So Radha, when she gets this message, she says, oh, so, very nice, very good. Okay, you please call Krishna. And in the meantime, she's hiding away in a kunja, which means an opening in the forest. Somehow such things occur naturally, some place where the trees don't grow, there's some opening. So she decorates it very nicely. There are several terms in Gita Govinda which I used again and again in the songs of the later Bengali poets and used in describing this. So at this time she becomes Vasaka Sajja Nayaka. That means that she's the Nayaka, the heroine who is preparing the forest grove for Krishna to come. So she makes it very nice, and she makes herself very nice, she dresses very nicely, and she's just sitting there waiting for Krishna to come. And every time she hears some leaf is falling, she thinks, oh, that's Krishna coming. And she goes on in anxiety, and the whole night passes. It comes before almost the end of the night, and she's anticipating Krishna coming, but gradually she feels disappointed. Krishna is not coming. So now she's feeling separation from Krishna. And then she understands, Krishna said he's coming. He's not coming. He's supposed to come. Then she becomes Utkantita Nayaka. That means she becomes in anxiety. And then again she becomes angry, first of all at her girlfriend, who she came and said, Krishna wants to come to you. What are you talking about? You're cheating me with false promises. And she's afraid that Krishna, I know that it's the same thing. Krishna says he loves me, but he goes off to some other gopi. She's afraid of that. And then when he finally arrives, it's too late. The night is coming to an end. And there's no time for lovemaking. And what's more, she sees on his body the signs that he's already been making love with someone else. Oh, how could Krishna be so cruel? Now she is Khandita Nayaka. Khandita means she's as if broken. She's all the aspirations she had for being with Krishna. She rebukes him. You killed Putana. But it seems you want to kill every woman, not just her. You're trying to kill me by behaving like this. You're just a cheat. You come in front of me and you don't even try to hide the marks of being bitten and mascara of some other gopi. You don't try to hide it even. You're killing me. I know you. Now you're going to make some excuse. Don't even bother trying. Don't give any lies. Just get out and go back to her. If you like her so much, you go to her. Get out of here. So Krishna, what can he say? He leaves shamefully. And then Radha, then she becomes the Kahalantarita Nayaka. It means after Kalaha Antara, means after quarreling with him, she again feels remorse. Oh, Krishna came and I sent him out. Then her friend again says, don't be so angry. Because you're proud, he's also proud. Why? You can't be happy without him, so why condemn yourself by expelling him? Don't be lonely, accept him. Let him come, let him apologize. See, and then her gopi friend tells Radha, you see, when he's soft, you become hard. When he is ready to compromise, you become completely adamant and rigid. When he becomes desirous to enjoy, you become rejectful of him. When he looks at you with expectation, you turn away. This is all lovemaking. This is done in lovemaking. That the man says, ah, and the woman says, now. But that's all, you see, even the cats and the dogs and all do this. But there's supposed to be some point where there's some agreement. So the girlfriend says to him, why are you doing this? Then finally Radharani again admits Krishna, but she's still cold. Okay, you're coming again, but I don't really trust you. Then Krishna has to beg her for forgiveness. He says, bring me to life. I'm completely dead. You have to give me the nectar of your lips so that I can come back to life again. And then the point which this all leads up to establishes the supremacy of Radha. That Krishna, he says, Smaragarala Kandanam Mama Shirasi Mandanam Dehi Padapallavam Udaram. He says, you just put your feet on my head. So this is the point, that how Krishna accepts Radha as superior to him. This is more than amazing. How Krishna, the Supreme Lord, all the Vedas, they point to him. We have to surrender to him. But he finds himself, he has to surrender to her. And then it goes on. And Krishna, Radha orders him. Now you decorate me. And Krishna decorates her hair, paints her feet. That's in Vedic culture, the women have red feet. Now they're giving it up. Still some of them, they have decorate their feet. Paint their feet red. And Krishna becomes her servant. And then they go on with their loving. So this point that's described, Jayadeva was writing his poem, going on writing. And in his meditation, he came to the point where Krishna says to Radha, now you have to place your feet on my head. Then just, this is my submission to you. And Jayadeva thought, well, that's too much. Okay, anyway, it's time for my midday bath. So he went out, he said, anyway, I'll go and take bath. And so he went out to take bath means you have to go out to a nearby river or whatever, a tank. So he went out and his wife is there, Padmavati, who Jayadeva mentions again and again in his writing. He calls himself Padmavati Raman, the enjoyer, or the one who gives pleasure to Padmavati. So she's there in the house, she's going on with her duties, cooking, everything. And she finds he's come back very quickly. How have you come back so quickly? Oh, there's something came in my mind. I want to write it down, otherwise I'll forget it. So he wrote that line. That Dehipaddapalavam Udaram. You give me your mercifully give me your lotus feet on my head. Shirasi Bandham. So then he wrote that and went away. And then again he came back after some time and said, oh, you're coming back so quickly? Again? He said, no, normal time I took for taking bath. But in the meantime you came back? No. What are you saying? I didn't come back in the meantime. What are you talking about? So they're both bewildered. She says that you came back and wrote something? No. But you did? No, I didn't. So then he looks at his manuscript and see that the line he wanted to write, it's written in there. Then he understood that Krishna himself had taken the form of himself to write this line. Krishna wanted that what Jayadeva was reluctant to write, Krishna was not reluctant. He insisted it must be written. And he came in this form. So he said, Jayadeva said to Padmavati, oh, you're so lucky, you saw Krishna. I didn't see. Of course, he's seeing him in his meditation. Otherwise, how can he write this? So Krishna wanted that this would be broadcast. So this gives some insights into the glories of Radharani, why we're celebrating this today. And this may not be a public festival very soon. First let people understand what is the importance of Krishna. Then the importance of Radha. But this should be, it's also, it is to be preached, but just we have to take it step by step. That's why we preach among ourselves. But even then, Srila Prabhupada especially was quite cautious about these matters, so that it wouldn't be misunderstood. Easy to misunderstand. So this is the essence of what it is to be a Gauriya Vaishnava, is to be a worshipper of Srimati Radharani, whose appearance day we're celebrating today. Would you like to say anything?
Yeah, I'd like to say that you spoke so nicely.
I spoke so nicely, yes. I spoke so nicely, because if we speak on these topics, then it must be nice. And if we speak other topics, it's not nice. Yes, oh yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Gita Govinda, yes. Gita. Govinda Lilamrita, which is similar. Or maybe Gita Govinda. I can't remember, maybe actually. But they're both similar. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, yeah, he wanted to print. And this, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, yes, you can do. You can print one copy for yourself. About, because it's so intimate, it's been misused. It's been misused. Misunderstood and misused. Once Srila Prabhupada met with a scholar, it's there in the conversations, it's recorded. Some scholar, you know, so many scholars have. And this scholar mentioned about, and I'm talking about some Western academic scholar, and this scholar mentioned about Gita Govinda, and Srila Prabhupada said, that is meant for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not for us. Because there are some very intimate descriptions also, which um, they could very easily be mistaken to be some kind of mundane, vulgar erotica. Yeah, yeah, it's right there in his writings, yeah.
So tell me, is it, I understood, seems like that each soul has a rasa already.
Mm.
So they may not, his disciples may not all have that, you know, madhurya rasa.
Yeah.
Nature, is it?
Not every devotee is a devotee in madhurya rasa, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came to give this, and presumably those who are drawn to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will be mostly aspiring for that, although the followers of Nityananda Prabhu, they're mostly, not all, but mostly in the Sakya Ras. Hmm. So he... Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give bhakti in chari bhava, four rasas, yeah. But particularly this madhurya. Srila Prabhupada also writes, he says that generally the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they aspire to join Krishna in his rasa dance.
Yeah.
Oh yes, yeah, it may be. One should follow in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. So when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, much of the Chaitanya descriptions, they're all centered around this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings. But it's all centered around this. His feelings of separation from Krishna, being in the mood of Radha. So, Hare Krishna! Jai Sri Sri Radha Nila Madhava Sri Sri Radha Giridhari.